Welcome back.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 4.2, Emotional Intelligence, Self-Awareness, and Interpersonal Skills.
A really crucial topic.
If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along.
Exactly. You won't be lost.
Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. So, to start us off, I want you to just imagine sending an email to a colleague.
Okay, picturing it.
You thought the tone was completely neutral, right? Just a, you know, standard project update.
Sure.
But then, like 10 minutes later, they reply and they are absolutely furious.
Oh, wow.
Right? They've completely blown up at you. They've seized your manager and the whole project is just ground to a halt.
A total nightmare scenario.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there thinking, what just happened?
Yeah, you're totally blindsided.
Today, we're looking under the hood at the invisible operating system that basically dictates every single professional interaction you have.
And that email scenario is such a great place to start because, I mean, that kind of miscommunication happens every single day.
Oh, 100%.
And the funny thing is, it usually has very little to do with the actual work itself.
Right. It's the underlying stuff.
Exactly. To really unpack why that happens, we sort of have to define three core concepts that form the foundation of our discussion today.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, there's emotional intelligence, which is fundamentally the ability to understand and manage emotions effectively. It's, you know, the overarching capability.
Like the big umbrella.
Right, the big umbrella. And then within that, we have self-awareness.
Which is what exactly?
Well, it's understanding your own personal strengths, your habitual behaviors, and most importantly, your internal emotional responses.
Got it. Knowing what makes you tick.
Precisely.
Mm.
And finally, there are interpersonal skills. These are the external applications, right?
Mm-hmm.
The skills that actually support positive communication and help you build strong relationships with others.
You know, it's interesting. People so often dismiss emotional intelligence as a soft skill.
No, constantly.
It's treated like something that's nice to have, maybe a bonus trait for an HR manager, but not strictly necessary for the real hard work.
Which is a huge misconception.
Right, because looking at these definitions, isn't emotional intelligence actually the operating system that makes all your other professional skills run smoothly?
That is a fantastic way to put it.
I mean, think about it. You can have the most advanced apps on your phone, like your elite coding ability, your genius-level financial modeling, or, I don't know, a brilliant marketing strategy.
Yeah, the technical hard skills.
Exactly. But if the underlying operating system is glitching out, none of those apps are going to work the way they're supposed to.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the stakes of having a functional emotional operating system are just incredibly high.
They really are.
It is not just a nice to have. It is literally the infrastructure of your career.
Wow. The infrastructure.
Yeah. And we can see this clearly when we look at the cascading effects of weak emotional intelligence.
Yeah, it's a domino effect.
Exactly. It almost always begins exactly where your opening scenario started. With poor communication.
Like the badly received email.
Yes. In a modern workspace, especially a digital one, poor communication isn't just speaking unclearly.
It's just thin.
It's failing to recognize how your tone, your timing, and your own unexamined biases are landing with your audience.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Because if you lack the self-awareness to understand your own emotional state, you're going to bleed that emotion into your communication.
You can't help it. It just leaks out.
Right. You might be stressed about a deadline, so you fire off a really brusque 3-word message on Slack.
And you think you're just being efficient.
Exactly. But the recipient reads it as you being angry with them.
And that leads directly to the next step in the cascade, which is conflict.
And we're not talking about good conflict here, are we?
No, definitely not. To be clear, we are not talking about healthy, productive debate over ideas. We are talking about dysfunctional interpersonal friction.
The messy stuff.
Right. When poor communication becomes the norm, people start assuming bad intent.
They think you're out to get them.
Exactly. And that unmanaged conflict inevitably leads to chronic stress.
Which is terrible for anyone's health.
It is. And once a team is operating under a cloud of interpersonal stress, you immediately see a severe reduction in teamwork effectiveness.
People just shut down.
They do. They stop collaborating, they start protecting themselves, they hoard information.
They probably hesitate to ask for help, too.
Absolutely. Which ultimately culminates in massive leadership challenges.
Right. Because a leader who lacks emotional intelligence We'll just watch their team's productivity and morale completely unravel.
And the tragic part is they probably won't even understand why it's happening.
Because they'll be blaming the technical skills of the team instead of the emotional environment.
Exactly. They blame the apps instead of the operating system.
Okay, let's unpack this because I was trying to visualize this earlier. Weak emotional intelligence is basically like driving a car with a completely foggy windshield.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Think about it. You might know exactly how to drive.
Sure.
You have the technical skills, you know where the gas pedal is, you understand the rules of the road.
Right, you've passed the test.
But if your windshield is completely fogged up, you are inevitably going to crash.
You can't avoid it.
You are going to crash into teamwork and leadership challenges because you simply cannot read the road in front of you.
You have no visibility.
Exactly. You lack the emotional visibility to see that your colleague is overwhelmed or that your tone is causing friction.
Yeah.
You can't navigate the hazards because you literally can't see them.
That is a phenomenal analogy. You are accelerating blindly, assuming the road is clear just because you know how to press the pedal.
Which is terrifying, honestly.
It really is. But conversely, strong emotional intelligence acts as the defroster for that windshield.
Oh, I love that. The defroster.
Yeah. Yeah. When you possess strong emotional intelligence, it actively improves communication and collaboration.
It clears things up.
Exactly. You boost your adaptability and you massively elevate your leadership effectiveness. You clear the fog.
And suddenly you could see again.
Suddenly you can anticipate the curves in the road. You can see the obstacles before you hit them. And you can safely navigate alongside all the other drivers.
That is such a crucial shift. But, you know, it's one thing to understand that we need to clear the windshield.
Right.
But how do we actually do it in today's world?
That's the real challenge.
Because we live in an era where so much of this this driving happens digitally.
So much of it.
We're working remotely, communicating asynchronously across different time zones.
Which strips away a lot of context.
It does. Which brings us to a really fascinating part of our framework today. Using practical digital tools to improve human skills.
Yes, the tools are key.
Specifically, tools like Headspace, Notion, and LinkedIn Learning.
A great tech stack for the mind.
It is, but I have to admit, when I first saw Notion listed as an emotional intelligence tool, I was pretty skeptical.
Really? Why is that?
Well, isn't there a risk that actively documenting my frustrations in a workspace app just turns into a, like, digital brain book?
A burn book. That's funny.
You know what I mean? Like a database of every little thing that annoys me about my coworkers.
That's a really valid concern, actually. And it's exactly why the methodology matters way more than the software itself.
Okay, how so?
The core strategy we're looking at here is learning to reflect on emotional responses constructively.
Constructively being the operative word.
Exactly. If you just use Notion to vent, yes, it's a burn book.
Right.
But if you use it as a structured digital reflection journal, it changes the entire dynamic. It's about externalizing the data.
Externalizing the data. Walk me through how that actually works in practice.
Okay, let's say you experience a strong emotional response. Maybe you feel incredibly defensive after receiving feedback on a video call.
Oh, I've been there.
We all have. The natural instinct is to either lash out or just ruminate on it silently and let it ruin your whole day.
Totally.
But instead, you open a private Notion template. You actively document the event.
Like writing down what happened.
Yes, but specifically, what was the exact trigger? What was the physical sensation in your body? What was your immediate behavioral urge?
Wow, getting really granular.
Exactly. Oh. By typing it out into categorized fields, you take an abstract, overwhelming emotion and you turn it into objective data.
That's so interesting. So you're not just ranting.
Right. You aren't ranting. You are categorizing triggers. You are forcing your brain to move from a purely reactive emotional state into an analytical state.
Oh, I see.
And over time, you start to see patterns.
Like what kind of patterns?
You might realize, oh, I don't actually hate feedback. I just get defensive when feedback is given in front of a large group instead of one-on-one.
Oh, wow. That is a huge realization to have.
It is. And that is the essence of self-awareness.
That makes so much sense. You're basically auditing your own emotional responses to find the root cause rather than just treating the symptoms.
Precisely.
And then we have a tool like Headspace, which is heavily focused on mindfulness. Why is that specifically relevant to a digital work environment?
Well, because Headspace directly supports the strategy to develop self-awareness and emotional regulation habits.
Regulation habits.
Yes. We have to recognize that digital work environments are fundamentally unnatural for human psychology.
You mean all the screens and pings?
Exactly. You are constantly bombarded with notifications, emails, instant messages. The platforms are designed to demand an immediate response.
Which is so stressful.
It creates a perpetual state of low-level fight or flight. Plus, asynchronous text inherently strips away all vocal tone and facial expressions,
leaving a huge void.
Right. A void that our brains often fill with the absolute worst possible assumptions.
Oh, absolutely. A simple period at the end of a sentence, like someone typing sounds good, period.
Yeah.
That can feel like an act of aggression depending on the day you're having.
Exactly. And that's where the habit-building framework of Headspace comes in. It trains the pause.
Trains the pause. I like that.
In a hyper-connected workplace, the ability to regulate your nervous system is vital.
So it's about slowing down.
Right. Building a daily habit of mindfulness trains your brain to create a microsecond of space between a stimulus, like that annoying Slack message, and your response.
Just a tiny gap.
And that tiny pause is where emotional intelligence lives. It's the difference between firing off a reactive, defensive reply that ruins a relationship and taking a breath, assuming positive intent, and responding professionally.
That is so powerful. And then for the purely interpersonal side, the framework points us to Lincoln Learning.
Yes, exactly.
Which I assume is about gathering the actual frameworks to apply once you've managed to pause and reflect.
Precisely. LinkedIn Learning is where you actively study positive communication frameworks and empathy techniques.
Giving you the actual playbook.
Right. It gives you the structured knowledge, the vocabulary, and the tactical approaches to apply interpersonal skills in real-world scenarios.
I just can't get over the irony, but also the brilliance of this.
What do you mean?
Well, in our digitally enabled future, we are actually leveraging software platforms and apps to improve our most fundamentally human skills.
Yeah, it is a bit of a paradox.
It really is. We're using technology to become better, more empathetic colleagues.
It's the best use of tech, really.
But, you know, it's one thing to use Notion in a vacuum.
Right.
How does this digital self-awareness translate when you're suddenly put in charge of a struggling team? Let's look at the case study we have, a student leader.
This is a perfect proxy for the future workplace environments you are going to enter.
Tell us about it.
The scenario involves a student leader who managed to improve their team's collaboration by developing stronger listening skills and more constructive conflict management approaches.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Imagine you are a young professional stepping into a heavily digital hybrid workplace.
Very common nowadays.
You've inherited a team that looks exactly like this struggling student group.
Okay, a mess, basically.
Right. Communication is totally fragmented. People are working in their own little silos. There is a thick layer of underlying tension, and collaboration is practically non-existent.
Tough situation.
How do you actually turn that digital workplace around using the lessons from this student leader? It can't just be telling everyone to listen better, right?
No, it requires a deeply tactical application of those skills. The how is found directly in the specific strategies that student applied.
Which were what?
Well, they didn't solve the collaboration issue by implementing new project management software or demanding more output.
They didn't just buy a new app.
Exactly. They succeeded by changing the emotional environment through constructive conflict management.
But what does that actually look like on a Tuesday afternoon in a remote job?
It looks like active listening, which takes on a whole new dimension in a digital space.
How so?
Digital active listening is not just nodding your head in a Zoom conference room. It's reading the subtext of a quickly typed message.
Oh, paying attention to the unsaid stuff.
Right. It's noticing who hasn't spoken up or unmuted themselves for the last three meetings and intentionally creating a safe space for them to contribute.
It requires so much awareness.
It does. And if two team members are clashing in a public channel, constructive conflict management means the leader doesn't publicly shame them or just ignore it.
What do they do instead?
They use their self-awareness to stay calm. They move the conversation to a private, synchronous call. And they ask open-ended questions to uncover the root of the friction.
Rather than just issuing a top-down mandate to stop arguing.
Exactly.
It's treating empathy and active listening as absolute non-negotiables for leadership rather than optional soft skills.
100%.
Which brings us to the ethical and responsible side of this entire framework. There is a specific strategy highlighted here to communicate respectfully during disagreement.
A very critical point.
I have to admit, When we talk about emotional regulation habits in the context of professionalism, a lot of people just hear the word suppression.
Yes, they do.
They think being a professional means just swallowing your frustration, putting on a fake smile, and looking perfectly fine on the outside, even if you are seething on the inside.
This raises an important question, and it is a very dangerous misconception.
I'm glad we're talking about this.
How do we regulate our emotions to ensure a professional, safe, and constructive environment, especially when tensions inevitably run high?
Right, because tensions will run high.
Always. The core takeaway is that emotional regulation supports professionalism, but regulation is the exact opposite of suppression.
Can you break down the difference? Because they feel very similar in the moment.
Think of it this way. Suppression is ignoring the check engine light on your dashboard.
Okay, I like the car analogies today.
They work. You put a piece of black tape over the light, pretend the car is fine, and keep driving.
Which never ends well.
No, eventually the engine will explode, usually at the worst possible time, causing massive damage.
Right.
You haven't managed the problem, you've just delayed and amplified it.
That makes sense. And regulation?
Regulation, on the other hand, is acknowledging the check engine light.
You see it.
You see it. You don't panic, but you intentionally pull the car over, pop the hood, and address the problem safely.
I love that. So to clarify, self-awareness isn't about becoming a robot who never feels anger or frustration.
Not at all.
You aren't trying to eliminate the check engine light altogether.
Exactly. If a colleague disrespects your boundaries, you are going to feel angry. That is a completely natural human response.
It happens to everyone.
Right. Regulation is understanding your emotional response in real time so you can engage in the disagreement without causing destructive conflict.
You're aware of it.
Yes. You feel the anger, but you choose not to let the anger dictate your behavior.
You pull the car over.
Exactly.
You say, hey, I am feeling really frustrated right now because of how this project was handed off to me.
Yes, you name it.
You use your self-awareness to recognize the feeling, but you intentionally choose a respectful, constructive way to communicate it.
Rather than just lashing out or passively, aggressively sabotaging the project,
right.
It is the fundamental difference between reacting and responding.
Reacting versus responding.
Reacting is automatic, thoughtless, and often emotionally volatile. Responding is intentional, measured, and it preserves the psychological safety of your team.
And preserving that psychological safety is really the ethical responsibility of any modern professional.
It absolutely is. You cannot have a high-functioning team if people are afraid of unpredictable emotional explosions.
So how do we actually practice this intentionality?
Good question.
How do we build this muscle so that we respond instead of reacting?
We actually have a great tool for this.
We do. We have a fantastic practical application activity designed for exactly this, and I want us to walk through it right now.
Let's do it.
For you listening, I want you to think of a recent communication or teamwork challenge you faced.
Get a specific one in mind.
It could be at work, in a university group project, or even a tense moment in a personal relationship. Have that specific scenario in your mind.
Okay, I got one.
We're going to break that interaction down into four specific steps to analyze it.
Let's say, hypothetically, your scenario is a group project where a team member missed a critical deadline and you snapped at them in a group chat.
Yikes. Okay, step one of the activity is to identify your emotional responses.
What exactly were you feeling in that moment of challenge?
You need to actually name the emotion.
Was it just anger? Or was it anxiety that your own grade or reputation would suffer?
Or maybe was it feeling disrespected?
Right. You have to pinpoint the exact feeling.
Okay, step two. Identify your communication strengths during that interaction.
Even if the overall interaction went poorly, what did you do well?
Because it's rarely all bad. Maybe you didn't use profanity.
That's a strength. Or maybe you were very clear about what the missed deadline meant for the timeline.
Right. Acknowledge what parts of your operating system function correctly.
Moving to step three, identify areas for improvement.
This is the hard part.
It is. This is where you have to look at where your windshield got foggy.
Did you assume bad intent without asking why they missed the deadline?
Did you publicly shame them in the group chat instead of messaging them privately?
Did you let your anxiety hijack your tone? You have to be brutally honest with yourself here.
And finally, step four, identify relationship building strategies for the future.
Based on what you just analyzed, how can you apply empathy, active listening, or respectful disagreement to repair or improve that dynamic moving forward?
Maybe your strategy is to schedule a quick one-on-one call, apologize for snapping in the public channel, and ask an open-ended question about what roadblocks they were facing.
It's a deceptively simple but incredibly powerful exercise.
It really is.
When you walk through it with a real scenario, you stop viewing emotional intelligence as just this abstract concept.
You see the actual mechanics of it.
And when you do this activity, it makes the answers to our core knowledge questions so obvious. Questions like, why is self-awareness important professionally?
And how can empathy improve teamwork?
Exactly.
When you apply the four steps, the answers become experiential. You see firsthand that self-awareness directly strengthens personal growth.
It proves it to you.
You literally cannot improve your professional output if you are blind to your own behavioral inputs.
And you see that empathy isn't just about being nice.
No, it's the direct functional mechanism that repairs relationships, clears roadblocks, and improves collaboration.
Which leaves us looking toward the future and what all of this means for our long-term careers.
Yeah.
In a world that is changing incredibly fast.
It does. And I actually want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Oh, I'm ready.
When we look at the foundational concepts we've discussed today, and we synthesize them with the reality of our rapidly changing digital landscape,
right,
it forces us to ask a critical, maybe even slightly uncomfortable question.
Okay, let's hear it.
As our future workplaces rely more and more heavily on digital tools, artificial intelligence, and automation to handle our technical tasks.
Our coding, our data analysis, our logistics, yeah.
Will our human capacity for empathy, self-awareness, and emotional regulation eventually become the only true competitive advantage we have left as professionals?
Oh, wow.
Because you cannot write an algorithm to sit down with a struggling employee, look them in the eye, and help them navigate a crisis of confidence.
That is so true.
You cannot automate the psychological safety required for a team to take creative risks.
That really flips the script on what a hard skill actually is.
Doesn't it?
If the machines can do the math and the AI can write the code, then the uniquely human skills, the interpersonal dynamics, the emotional regulation, those become the most valuable currency in the room.
They do.
They become the ultimate differentiator between a replaceable worker and an indispensable leader.
Precisely. Your digital confidence doesn't just mean knowing how to navigate software platforms.
It means knowing how to navigate the humans who use those platforms.
Yes.
Exactly. It requires adaptability and a commitment to lifelong learning. Because building emotional intelligence isn't just a box you check once.
It is a lifelong journey.
It absolutely is.
So what does this all mean for you? It means your ability to navigate the human side of work, to understand yourself deeply, and to effectively, responsibly communicate with others is the foundation of your future career.
Well said.
We encourage you to stay curious, be intentional in your digital interactions, and remain future ready. Don't be afraid of the technology. Use it to enhance your humanity.
And to help you actively build these skills, we highly encourage you to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities.
Yes. Put that four-step reflection into practice today.
It will make a difference.
We also want to acknowledge the fantastic reference materials that provide the foundation for this framework.
Some really great books in there.
If you want to explore the depths of self-awareness and interpersonal dynamics further, the books Emotional Intelligence, Dare to Lead, and Mindset are exactly where you should start.
They're essential reading for anyone serious about mastering these skills.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Keep building those skills. Stay curious, and we'll catch you next time.